Hello everyone and welcome back to the New in Chess podcast. My name is Jakob Aagaard. In the New in Chess podcast, we speak to leading grandmasters, authors, trainers and other chess personalities from around the world. The New in Chess podcast is brought to you by DGT, the leading producer of chess clocks and century chess boards. DGT clocks are used in major and minor chess competitions around the world, including small blitz matches in my living room. My guest today is Grandmaster Vishnu, and here I always mutilate everyone's words, Prasanna. Vishnu is an Indian grandmaster and coach who is well known for coaching young super talent Gukesh, among other strong players. Okay, so welcome to my first guest here, which is Grandmaster Vishnu from Chennai, who is a good friend of mine. And I don't want to introduce him because I want him to introduce himself. I know I have to sort of pull a few things out of you, and I'm looking forward to do that. But as a starting point, what are you willing to admit to?
Hello, Jacob. Thank you for having me, first of all, and inviting me as your first guest. And a few words about myself. You know, I'm most well known for training Gukesh when he was fairly young, right? So from 2017 to around 22, we worked quite a lot. And that's what I'm most well known for people who know me. And I've trained and worked with many grandmasters in India, mostly. And I started coaching, training people very seriously from 2017 on. Yes, I was also India's 33rd grandmaster. I became a GM when I was 23 years old, pretty late for compared to my students. But so and then somehow I stuck on to chess and somehow switched to training. Everything was very accidental, actually. Yes,
that's a bit of old. Yeah, life is what happens when you make other plans.
Exactly,
as the famous quote goes.
That's exactly what happened.
So we first met in Chennai in 2017, and yes. At that point you had just gotten engaged. Is that correct? Or you were about to get engaged?
I had not. 2017. At that point, I was not training Gukesh, I think, and I had gone on this.
Engaged.
Yeah. I was about to get married. Yes, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe 1 or 2 weeks away from the camp, and
yeah.
I got married around that time. Yes, 2017. And
if my memory is not incorrect. Your wife is also a strong chess player.
Yes, she is a woman international master. And she was a bit of a prodigy herself. She won the national juniors when she was about 13 or 14, but decided to pursue medicine instead of chess. And she's a laryngologist right now based in Chennai. And she's a postgraduate and a super specialist now, so fully into medicine.
I think a lot of our listeners will not know, but Chennai is actually a medical center, and I think you get a lot of health tourists from the US coming for surgery and specialist treatment.
Yes.
So Vishnu, can you tell us something about Chennai as a chess city and how it was growing up as a young player in Chennai?
Yeah, I mean, Chennai was always the hub for India itself and Tamil Nadu. I think the culture of Tal Chess Club, you know, in which Vishy played, the players from those generation continued to share their insights, right, even with the next generation. So Tal Chess Club was no longer there, but the culture of sharing ideas and, you know, passing on ideas to the next guy was very active because of these players. So even when I was a candidate, I had the opportunity to train with a lot of international masters, and you know, I had a coach as well, but you know, I had the opportunity to just spar, just to meet them, meet a lot of title players, and yeah, work with them occasionally. It was a, you know, Chennai had you know, so many people that were easy to find somewhat strong to train with. That was a huge advantage. Yeah, at every level you'll have someone to train with.
How was the presence of Anand for chess in Chennai? Of course, he's a great superstar in India, but he's also a Chennai native. How did that influence things? Did you see him ever as a child, for example?
Almost no, I did not have. I did not have this opportunity because, you know, I was not a very strong player for a very long time. You know, even when I joined university, or you know, I became a grandmaster only at 22 or 23, right? So, but Vishy used to work with almost a string of players from Chennai, yeah. So they could go and have these small camps with him whenever he invited them, and obviously they were very insightful, and also, you know, you get a lot out of it, right? So I know a lot of people have worked with him. You know, constantly they do these small camps whenever Vishy is in town, and he just wants to work on something, right? So he has invited almost all the GMs from from Chennai, actually. GMs.
So when you say almost, it's excluding you.
No, I don't blame him. I was not really strong enough at the time for him. Yeah, to help. To be of any use, yes.
Okay, so as you were mentioning earlier, you were the trainer of Gukesh in his formative years. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got to work with him, how strong he was when you started working with him, and sort of how your cooperation was taking place?
Yeah, so I was teaching at the time, right? So, but also playing a bit actively. So I was taking up students who were really dedicated and so on. So at the time, you know, there's a very famous chess school in Chennai, Velamal, right? So I was doing a camp, unofficial camp, for some of those students from the school, and Gukesh was one of them. And you know, it was a group camp with some 5 to 6 kids and so on. And yeah, he was very happy with how I was teaching in the camp. And, you know, somehow after 1 or 2 weeks, they reached out to me again. You know, we wanted to do personal training and so on. And yeah, that's how it started, basically. And we started in 2017, and it was with Gukesh, everything happened so fast, right? So we had a lot of success very quickly, and yeah, so we used to meet for both group and individual. I had a lot of strong talents from that time. I worked with Leon, you know, and a lot of other players used to
Leon Mandoka
come and do these camps at me.
Leon, who is 26-20 now or something like this?
Yeah, he's 26-20 now, yeah.
Yeah. So would you say that your personality, because you are you're extremely sweet and relaxed person, maybe a little shy also, if you don't mind me saying, and also Gukesh has, you know, he's clearly very shy and sort of, though he's confident, he's sort of confident, but also a little bit private person. Do you think that kind of thing was maybe something that attracted him to work with you? Both of you were very sort of mild personalities.
I would think so, actually, because we generally agreed on a lot of things, and Gukesh has the tendency to place high trust on whoever he works with, right? So whoever he decides to work with, you know, he would just follow them to the T, and definitely our personalities match. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we had very little interest in any, both of us, in anything except discussing anything except chess. And I think, yeah, definitely that was one reason things worked out very well, I think. Yes.
So how were you working with him? Like, I think this is what people who are listening to us talk, they want to know sort of like what kind of work you were doing with. One of the things I heard was that you were working with the engines, but Gukesh was not working with an engine until he was already a very strong grandmaster.
Right. So I wanted, I knew he was talented, and I knew we had a high level of mutual trust. So I thought we could experiment and still do well. Right. So I worked with him mainly on mindsets. You know, all training was about achieving a mindset. You know, that was the basis of all training. I mean, at least that's how I thought about it. Right. So most of our work was on decision making, actually. Decision making and human decision making, psychology and so on. The decision to not use engines was also about maintaining a certain mindset, right? So the mindset of uncertainty, right? So when you're playing a game, you're not completely sure. There's always a certain amount of uncertainty in your assessment, uncertainty in your decision, uncertainty in your calculation. So keeping that mindset for a very long period of time, that was the goal of not using engines. And for me, that is how I made the decision. But there could have been other side effects of good calculation or whatever. But from my point of view, I mainly recommend not using engines to be familiar with the mindset of not having complete information and still making decisions. And it was all about decision making, and we used to discuss about almost all the plays, how they decided things, how they choose, right? So how you choose either precisely or imprecisely, right? So anything. And this was the kind of work we did, actually. Trying to understand different players and how they've achieved what they've done.
Okay, so, you know, like I'm thinking as, you know, as someone who understands chess somewhat and so on. It all makes sense to me abstractly, but in practice, how would a training session work? What were you doing together? Was he thinking a lot, and were you using engines, or were you both not using engines? And was it solving? Was it discussing positions?
Yes. So for a long time, I was also not using engines, actually. And a training session would look like this, right? So mostly it's about solving or playing out from a position. Right, so it would be about playing out from a position or solving something, or even discussing a move, discussing a single move, or discussing a game. Right, so it starts from that, and so I've also done long calculation training with them, like solving just one position for 3 to 4 hours or so on. That kind of work also we did do a lot. Right, but especially in group settings, right? So especially if there's a group program, we used to solve very hard portions, which would take at least 2 to 3 hours, or just complex portions, which keep on bringing more and more ideas, right? So if there's a portion and there is a branch, the branch keeps going on and on. Those kinds of portions we did work a lot in group settings. And individual settings, we used to discuss a lot about portions. Especially, I would just show him a decision and, discuss why I think somebody made it and what he thinks about it and what was the motivation to do it and so on, or where does the logic of the decision come from. We just discussed a lot about such things. And yeah, discussion was a huge part of any session, right? So, and also I gave him a lot of portions which were open-ended, right? So there was no solution as such. It's just find an idea. We did do a lot of work on open-ended portions. Yeah, so he was already quite strong when we started. He was like a candidate, slightly stronger than a candidate. So I would just talk about the decision. I'll give an open-ended portion. He makes a decision. We'll discuss the decision. And yeah, try to check its accuracy and so on. And whether it was possible to do that and stuff like that, yes. This is a brief idea of what we are doing.
So essentially, it was a five-year conversation about how to think in chess and with a lot of practical examples as a basis for it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You could say that.
You love chess? Why don't you try New in Chess? With readers in 116 countries, New in Chess is the premier chess magazine in the world. What will you get? Exciting chess games explained by the best experts in a clear and accessible way, on-the-spot reports of the biggest events, top-notch instruction, independent journalism, chess history that comes to life, and great interviews. New in Chess, the way you want it. The beautifully produced paper edition, or the digital edition for phone, tablet, or PC. Give it a try. Go to our website, newinchess.com/magazine, for more information about subscriptions and special offers.
So, you probably already know, I worked with Nordibek Abdusatorov for 2 years, from the beginning of 22 till the beginning of this year. And in that situation, it was sort of my decision that we should stop working together, because I felt like there was a moment where my best way of helping him was to leave the space open, you know, for him to do other things. Whether that's right or wrong, you never know. But this is what I thought.
Yes.
You worked with Gukesh from he was much younger, from age of 10, 11. Until age 15, 16?
Yeah, he was 10 and a half.
10 and a half until almost 16? What was the reasoning? I presume that there was no conflict, because I know both of you, so it's hard to imagine a conflict. But what was the thinking for him to... because I assume he moved straight from working to you to working with Gajewski. Do you want to tell us how that happened? What was the thinking? What was your ideas?
No, even during the COVID, right? So during COVID, Vishy started this Visbridge Anand Chess Academy, right? So that was the beginning of all that, right? So he was already a part of that academy for 2 years. We were also working quite extensively that time, but he was also taking classes from them. You know, there were a lot of camps organized by these. They had regular sessions, so they had regular group sessions, nothing individual at that point, I think. So, and Gajewski was a part of the Westbridge Anand Chess Academy. Gregos was a part of the Westbridge Anand Chess Academy, and there were other coaches also, I think Sandeepan and one more coach. I think a lot of people still teach there, and actually, I just joined as a coach at that academy. But, you know, at the time, that's how they got introduced to each other, right? So he already knew him from the group lessons. And I think there was a lot of opening work and things going on, right? So they were familiar with each other. And I also worked briefly with him in 2014, actually, right after I became a GM. I worked on my openings with Gajewski, and I also knew him briefly. And so around 2022, you know, when he had this crazy result in the Olympiad, where he won like so many games, he he first crossed 2700 in BL, and then he had this crazy result in the Olympiad, and then, you know, he was knocking on these doors of the top 10 and stuff like that. I thought, you know, it felt like I couldn't do everything. And the group sessions alone would not be enough, right? So even though Vishy also gave him a lot of advice at times, actually. Vishy used to suggest things to do. They used to play games even. They used to play a lot of games and so on. Vishy also was involved, but at that point, you know, a lot of opening work. It was a crazy amount of opening work. And, you know, I had completely pulled myself away from that work, actually. Right? So I thought I could not manage to. He had Tata Steel coming up in the January of 2023. I thought, you know, I could not manage to fill everything for, to have such precise opening work done in a few months. I mean, I think I was not qualified to do that. And I was a little bit worried. And luckily, you know, Visbajan Chess Academy, they brought in Gajewski to help him. And yeah, that's how it started, actually. And they bonded well over Tata Steel in 2023 and so on, right? So they mostly became quite close, and somehow it felt like my role was not that significant. But yeah, so he was getting settled with him, and I was completely fine with that as well. I thought there are some things I cannot do that which he does. I mean, probably he's one of the best in the world right now to do it, especially finding these ideas and guiding him, right? So it started out purely as opening work, but now it's like a full-time. He's the guy who takes care of everything for Gukesh. It slowly switched. He traveled to tournaments with Gukesh, and he got to know him better. And so it's now it's completely about he knows everything that Gukesh is doing, and he says everything that Gukesh does, and so on. I meet him from time to time, but yeah, I'm not that involved in the training at the moment. It was also like, it was not a forced transition, or it was not a well thought out transition. It just happened by itself, and yeah, I thought it was appropriate as well. I lost touch with him for a few months, actually. He did well in Tata, reasonably well, and he did very well in WR Masters. And I thought, you know, anyway, he's doing well, and he's well settled with Gajewski, and they're working on everything, not just openings. They're working on his games, they're working on his weaknesses and stuff. So yeah, I went on with my other work, with my other students and so on, and whatever I was building on my own, and with family especially. So yeah, I reached out to him actually after a few months, right? So after Isle of Man, Grand Swiss, you know, I could not stand his games there, right? So I reached out to him and said, like, this is what happened and so on. And yeah, we are in touch right now from time to time. We still meet and discuss things, but we don't train so much anymore.
Okay. Thank you for the transition. Yeah, thank you for it's a very human transition, and I think this is something that's common for most trainers that I know, that we all know that we are good at some things but not at everything.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Also, it's some people, like Gajewski, probably is spending most of his energy with Gukesh now, but you and I, we always have done many things, and you know,
yes.
I think we should finish this this conversation with you telling us about what is the life of a trainer in Chennai now. What are your projects? What are your goals for the future? And Just from a personal angle here, do you have any children yet?
Yeah, I have a daughter. I mean, most of my last few years have been spent with that. She's almost 3.5 now. She's almost 4 now. She's 3.5.
Congratulations.
So that was what kept me busy for the last few years. But right now I'm doing a lot of work, very interesting projects, and looking forward to them. So the first thing is helping build this company called Circle Chess in Bangalore. It's a company where, yeah, you probably know, but you know, we are building a lot of tech-based coaching things, and you know, trying to fill any tech gap in chess overall, right? So any gap which can be filled in the chess industry, which can be filled with tech, we are trying to get things done there. And I've been working on that project for a last 6 months or so, and soon it will be ready for a launch, I think. And I have the other big project is a CSR sponsored activity. It's a CSR sponsored chess school as such, right? So it's called the Hats and Chess Academy. And yeah, I mean, there was a video recently made on Chess Base India about this, and it's basically training throughout the year as a chess professional, right? So you're training throughout the year and you receive continuous support for this training at very low price, right? Basically, so very low price.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it's not like low price means bad training. You get to be trained by grandmasters and mentored by grandmasters. So just to give you an idea, it's like close to $100 for yeah, month's training. And we train from, so the players here, they train the whole day here from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wow.
And this is also one of my biggest projects. Yeah, it's slowly picking up. I've been doing this since August 2021, but only in the April of 2024 it became a full-time program. And yeah, we have some really strong children here, and yeah, teenagers also who you will hear about, who will do well in the future, I think. And I always have had a small club which is meant to teach beginners and, you know, start bring people into chess, bring beginners into chess, teaching chess. It's called the Madras School of Chess, and that's what I do in Chennai. And this Hats and Chess Academy is supposed to be a very professional one, right? So it's super professional academy. If you want to become a professional, we'll help you with that. Yeah, so I've been very busy, undoubtedly.
It's a lot. It's really a lot. Maybe one day if I'm in Chennai, I can take a day or two, so you can get a rest.
Yes.
So, definitely, but I'm not sure I could do 9 hours. So it's so Vishnu.
Right, so
it's
they train from 9 to 4.
Yeah.
And they train from 9 to 4, and then they go out and play some sports here. Right. So yeah, it will be. I'll definitely find a way to bring you here someday. This is not in Chennai, by the way. This is,
that's
like
fine.
In a smaller town. It's in a smaller town, about 400 kilometers from Chennai. But no, I'm sure we'll find a way to bring you here, because you will also love it, and just the atmosphere here. Yeah.
It sounds like something that will be worth investigating in the future. So Vishnu, thank you very much. Yes. For giving us a lot of your time. And especially for your kindness towards me and over the years, and also today on my untrained first attempt of being a podcast host. We wish you all the best for the future, and maybe one day at your academy we can do another talk in person, and We'll look forward to that immensely. Yes.
Thank you, Jacob, for having me. It was a pleasure, always, as always, talking to you. And I'm sure you'll have more visits planned to India, and I'll find a way to. And I know your schedule will be busy, but we'll find a way to bring you here. And I'm looking forward to showing you this place as well. This space that I worked on, and hopefully, it'll be a useful thing for chess itself.
I think it would be incredibly exciting, and I already cleared all of 2025, so you can pick whenever you want.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. We'll plan something.
Thank you very much, Grandmaster Vishnu. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the New in Chess podcast. The New in Chess podcast is published every Friday and can be listened to on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and the New in Chess website. That's the best place, by the way. To leave a comment, go to our socials or email us directly at podcast@newinchess.com. Thank you to our sponsors at DTT for their support, and hope to have you back for the next week at an episode of the New in Chess podcast. And me personally, I'll be back in a few months, a few years, who knows, with another interview with one of the great trainers of our beautiful game. I'm not even sure I need to redo any of them.
No, that's good.
They were fine, yeah?
It was very enthusiastic. I like it.
It was just playful.